What is your New Year's resolution? Are you ready for a new year? I hope you all of you had a wonderful Christmas. I hope you had a blessed times with friends and family. And as we get ready to say goodbye to year 2021 and get ready to welcome another year, I hope you have had a chance to reflect on your life. I hope you have a chance to reflect on your relationship with Jesus. I hope you had a time just to sit back and think about all the blessings that God has given you. And we deserve none of them. It is only in His mercy and in His grace that He has been so good to us. But as we get ready to turn that page on the calendar, December 31st is always an exciting time, a time where all of us think that we can just turn a page and have a new beginning, a new hope. Perhaps some of us in a new year is starting thinking about starting a family. Perhaps some of us are thinking about getting married. Perhaps some of us are looking for a new career, a new job, maybe a new business, right? The most popular resolution is, of course, most of us want to lose weight. Some of us want to give up smoking. Some of us want to give up drinking. Or perhaps it's another bad habit. Maybe some of us want to exercise more, live a healthier life, And all of us, and I think there is no exemption to this, all of us are making decisions right now as to what we are going to change in our life. So today, in a very short time, I hope it's a short time, but those of you who listen to me, you know that's not very easy for me. I just want to encourage you. And I want to speak to those of us who have a relationship with Jesus. Those of us who have made a conscious decision to be obedient to Jesus and live a life that reflects our faith. A lot of the things that I just talked about, when we talk about a job, we talk about a marriage, perhaps a new car, perhaps losing weight, healthier lifestyle, all of those things that we tend to think about all have to do with our external body. It has to do with what people can see. And yes, there are those of us who will make a decision today that I want to spend more time with God. I want to read Bible. This is the year that I'm going to read the Bible in a year. Some of us will make a commitment to be more diligent about prayer, more diligent about attending Bible studies or church, etc. But the fact of the matter is that most of the resolution are done away with by the end of January. And despite our best effort and despite our best intention, most of us fail in keeping our resolutions. But today, as I speak to you, as I started out by saying that I want to speak to you who are very serious about their relationship with Jesus. When we come to Jesus, when we accept Jesus, Bible tells us that we are a new creature now, that we are a new person. And yet, as we look back in our life, as we look at the state of our life, if we were to evaluate, self-examine your life, many of us are living a very, very defeated life. Yes, we are secure. Yes, our decision about our spiritual life, our decision to follow Jesus is one that is very sincere and our heart is at the right place. Yet, our rest of our life, when we look at our relationships, we look at our finances, when we look at our overall life, it does not reflect the decision that we have made. And so as I was thinking about this message, as I was thinking about sharing something for the new year, God put this message into in my heart, and I believe It's a message that's an important message, and I believe it's an encouraging message for most of you, and I hope it's an encouraging message for most of you. And so as I was preparing for this, God drew me to a book in the Old Testament, a book I think most of you are very familiar with. The book, perhaps, I'm pretty sure many of you have done an extensive study on, or you have at least attended or heard a Bible study on this book, and it is the book of Nehemiah. So if you can turn with me to the book of Nehemiah, and as we get ready to welcome in a new year, I want to speak to you about our spiritual resolution. And this book of Nehemiah, I think it illustrates what it is to have a strong spiritual life, strong spiritual life. So turn with me to the book of Nehemiah. And before we get into the book of Nehemiah, for those of you who might not be familiar with the history of this book, I just want to give you a little background. As many of you know, or most of you know, that Israel was in captivity for 70 years. And we know all about it in the Old Testament. Many prophets spoke about it. We, of course, know the book of Daniel. And Daniel was in a captivity, and it was in his captivity that book was written. So after that captivity, it was in year 535 BC. There was the King Cyrus allowed the Israelites to go back to Jerusalem, to the promised land. So in year 535 BC, a man named Zerubbabel led the first contingency of Jews back to Jerusalem from Babylon. And it was a very small group. If I remember correctly, it was somewhere around 40,000 people that came back to Jerusalem. And this was the first people who came back. With Zerubbabel, there were two prophets, okay? And I believe you know both of them because both of them have a book in the Old Testament. Those two prophets were the Haggai and Zechariah, okay? After they built the temple, once they got back, very quickly they build the temple. Okay, well, it didn't take them too long to build the temple. And the Haggai and the Zechariah is a great books to study to kind of get an idea about what this temple was all about. After they rebuild the temple, about 57 years later, a second group, led by a priest and a scribe named Ezra, returned to Jerusalem. And it is Ezra who wrote this book of Nehemiah, as well as the book of Ezra, the book that comes right before the book of Nehemiah in the Bible. But about a few years later, around year 445 BC, a third group came back to Jerusalem, and that group was led by a man named Nehemiah. He is coming back to rebuild the wall around the city in order that the people can worship freely without being attacked by the enemy. And this is the focus of my teaching today. You know, many of us have rebuilt the temple, meaning many of us have accepted Christ. We want to live a godly life. But the rest of our life is in ruins, as it was in the time of Nehemiah. So if you turn with me to Nehemiah, look what it says in the Nehemiah, chapter 1, verse 1. It says, the words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, it came to pass in the month of Chislev, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the citadel, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came with men from Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews who had escaped who had survived the captivity and concerning Jerusalem. And they said to me, the survivors who are left from the captivity in the province are there in a great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is also broken down, and its gates are burned with fire. And this is what this is the condition that some of us find ourselves in, that the walls have been broken down. The temple is there, but the walls are broken down. And as it says here, that we live in a great distress and reproach. And there is a reason for this. So let me just mention this to you. When we are born again, when we invite Christ into our heart, then the demons cannot come and reside in our heart. It is impossible for God and a demon to reside in the same heart. So we don't need to worry about that part of it. Okay? Our heart is secure. But where we get into problem, where the distress comes from, is our walls are down. Our walls are in ruins. And that's how the enemies continue to attack us. And how do we let these walls down? When we engage into certain things that we shouldn't be engaging into. You know, if you go into Revelation chapter 9, it talks over there about some of the things that distract us. You know, when we have certain habits, certain addictions, we are giving an opening to Satan to walk through. And that's why it is very important that we build a wall. We build a wall. And so today, as we go through this book of Nehemiah, where Nehemiah is going to be building a wall around Jerusalem to protect the city, how do we build a wall around our heart, our temple, that the enemy may not attack us? This is the spiritual wall that each and every one of us need to build to have a victorious Christian life. We are not to live a defeated life. Once you come to know Jesus, there are certain blessings that comes with it. And if you are not enjoying those blessings, perhaps there is a problem with your wall. Maybe you have a couple of holes in your wall. Maybe the wall needs to be fortified. And as we go through this book of Nehemiah, I want to speak to you regarding that. So here we have Jerusalem. The people are coming back from the captivity. The temple is rebuilt. It is not as grand as it was in the time of Solomon, but there is a temple there. Now the worship is taking place. They are starting to sacrifice, but they are constantly living in the fear of their enemies because there is no wall around the city. Those of you who are familiar with the that period of time, every city had a wall around it, and there would be a gate which would be closed at the night time. The purpose of this wall was to protect the city from the enemy attack. It was not hard. It was not easy for the enemy to just come through the wall. And so each and every kingdom, each and every city fortified themselves with a wall around them. It's a way to protect. It was a defense against enemy attack. Now here, when these people came back to Jerusalem, yes, they built a temple, but the rest of the city was in ruins. And so when Hanani comes and Nehemiah speaks to him, he tells him that the city is in distress and is in reproach. So verse 40 says, "So it was when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. And this is a good place to start if your spiritual wall is down. sit down. You know, there should be a burden in our heart about the life that we live. Does my life reflect the faith that I confess? I have made a decision. I have decided to follow Jesus. Am I living the life according to that decision? And if that's not the case, then there should be weeping. There should be mourning in your heart. And then it's important that you seek God out. And he says, I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. And I said, I pray, Lord, God of heaven, O great and awesome God, you who keep your covenant and mercy with those who love you and observe your commandments, please let your ear be attentive and your eyes open that you may hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you now day and night. For the children of Israel, your servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against you, both my father's house and I have sinned. And it's this is prayer. His journey starts with repentance, as it should be for us as well. As we say goodbye to this year and get ready to welcome a new year, reflect on your life. Is there anything that you need to repent of? Perhaps your spiritual wall is down because there is no repentance. And here, Nehemiah repents and asks for a forgiveness. Both my father's house and I have sinned. We have acted very corruptly against you and have not kept the commandments, the statutes, nor the ordinances which you command your servant Moses. Remember, I pray, the word that you command your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though some of you were cast out to the farthest part of the heavens, yet I will gather them from there and bring them to the place which I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. He reminds God of his promises. We understand that we were scattered. We understand we were in the captivity because you had told Moses that if we don't listen, if we don't follow your commandment, this is the consequences of it. But then you had also said that you will gather us, you will rebuild us. And so as we look at this book of Nehemiah, you know, it is a great book to teach or learn about a leadership, that what a leader should look like. It's also a very wonderful book in teaching a revival. But one of the most interesting thing that you can learn from this book, I think one of the most important thing that you can learn from this book is how Holy Spirit rebuilds and restores the walls of a human heart. How Holy Spirit helps us to rebuild and restore to what we need to be. And that's the story of Nehemiah. Let's go to Nehemiah 2, Nehemiah 2, and verse 5 is what I want to draw your attention to. It says over there, and I said to the king, if it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in your sight, I ask that you send me to Judah, to the city of my father's tomb, that I may rebuild it. Earlier in the chapter, if you read the whole chapter 2, Nehemiah is a cupbearer to the king. That's a very important position. There's a very important position because as a cupbearer, you literally became the first advisor of the king. And Nehemiah is sad. King notices that he's sad. And then what we just read in verse 5 is an answer to inquiry from the king. And here's a very important lesson. Whatever we are going to do this year, whatever steps we are going to take to improve our life, it is very important that you seek out God's guidance. Look what it says over here. And I said to the king, if it pleases the king and if your servant has found favor in your sight, I ask that you send me to Judah. There is a clear direction that we need to ask from God. God, how would you like me to live my life? What would you like me to do? How should I be used? Where should I be used? It's very important that we are in the will of God. Then once that prayer is made, look at what it says in verse 7. Furthermore, I said to the king, if it pleases the king, let the letters be given to me for the governors of the region beyond the river, that they must permit me to pass through till I come to Judah. Yes, Nehemiah wanted to go to Judah. And as we go to the, as we self-examine, and as we see a need for a change in our life, our spiritual life, we seek out God. But once we seek God, and once we know what we want to do, here we see Nehemiah not only asked to be sent, but then he asked that, let me find grace along the way. Give me wisdom what to do, how to do it, right? That's why he says, if it pleases the king, let letters be given to me for the governors of the region beyond the river. He's asking for a protection. And that's the same thing we need to ask God. That God, yes, I want to do it. And I want to do it according to your will. And as I go there, and as I go through that journey, God, be with me. Protect me. That I would not have any obstacles or any hindrance in my way. And look what it says in verse 8. And he says, and the letter to Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he must give me timber to make beams for the gates of the citadel which pertains. Not only did he ask for protection, but he asked for provision. And so it's the same way as we enter into this new year, and as we try to build this spiritual wall, we ask God, not only you give me the protection, but you give me the wisdom. Give me all that I'm going to need to build this spiritual war. Whatever strength that I may need, whatever wisdom that I may need, God, please provide that for me. Very important that we seek God out in our faith journey. Moving on, if you read verse 10, look what it says in verse 10. It says, when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite official heard of it, they were deeply disturbed that the man had come to seek the well-being of the children of Israel. And this is something that's going to happen in your faith journey. When you decide to follow Jesus, when you decide you no longer want to have anything to do with your old lifestyle, those who are around you, perhaps those who are your at one time who were your friends, even family, will be disturbed because of the decision you are making. And remember these names, because later on, they will create a big obstacle for Nehemiah. And it might be the same for you guys in your life. As we take our faith journey, there are people who are our friends, who are our family, our brothers and sisters. Many times they become the biggest obstacle in our faith journey. Because somehow our walk with Christ kind of puts a damper into their lifestyle, and they don't want to deal with some of the questions you are going to raise. They don't want to think about some of the things that you're going to talk about, and so they are disturbed. Before I go any further, I want to draw your attention to verse 11 as well. It says, so I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days. Then I arose in the night, and a few men with me. I told no one what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem, nor was there any animal with me except the one on which I rode. And I went out by night through the valley gate to the serpent well and the refuse gate, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and its gates, which were burned with fire. You see, Nehemiah didn't go into Jerusalem. Yes, he had heard a report on what was going on. But then once he got there, he didn't right away start rebuilding the wall. He took his time. He examined the surrounding. He saw exactly what was ahead of him. He evaluated the situation, much like what we need to do, much like what I started out by saying, that have you reflected on your life? Have you reflected on your relationship with Jesus? Evaluate your relationship with Jesus. Are you walking with him? Are you doing those things that is required of us? Those things that Jesus has commanded us to do? Are you doing them well? Are you failing in certain areas? What is your relationship with Jesus? It's important that we reflect, we evaluate, and then make changes that needs to be made. And then as we read in verses 5, 7, and 8, ask God for his help. Ask God how to do it. Ask God to provide protection and provision for this journey. Very, very important stuff that we are reading over here. If you continue reading further, let's go to chapter 3. And if you look at Nehemiah chapter 3, it talks about various people doing various things in constructing the wall as well as the gates. And in a very short amount of time, what I want to draw your attention to is, once we decide to take on this rebuilding project, God sends people in your life who will help you build your spiritual wall. God brought these people to Nehemiah to rebuild the wall around Jerusalem. According to their talent, according to their ability, they did the work on this wall and the different gates. And I'm not going into detail in this chapter, but God will bring those people. If it's patience that is needed in your life, God will bring people that will frustrate you and teach you patience. If it's encouragement you need, God will bring a person in your life that will encourage you. If it's a rebuke or a correction that is needed, God will bring that person or those circumstances in your life that will do that. Whatever our need is at the time in our faith journey and in building our spiritual wall, God will provide that. God will provide that. And we can count on that, because our God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. But it is very important that we build this spiritual wall. It is very, very important that we build this spiritual wall. Moving on. Look what chapter 4, verse 1 says. But it so happened when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, that he was furious and very indignant and mocked the Jews, and he spoke before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, what are these feeble Jews doing? Will they fortify themselves? Will they offer sacrifice? Will they complete it in a day? Will they revive the stones from the heap of rubbish stones that are burned? Now Tobiah the Ammonite was beside him, and he said, whatever they build, even a fox goes up on it, he will break down their stone wall. As we move forward in rebuilding our spiritual wall, there will always be people who will discourage you. There will always be people who will continually remind you that you are not good enough. Look, you are failing here. You are not doing what you are proclaiming it to be. There will always be people who will discourage you, people who will mock you. But it is important that we stay the course. Look how Nehemiah deals with it. And this is exactly how we need to deal with it. Verse 4, he says, hear, O our God, for we are despised. Turn their reproach on their own heads and give them a plunder to a land of captivity. Do not cover their iniquity and do not let their sin be blotted out from before you. for they have provoked you to anger before the builders. So we built the wall. The entire wall was joined together up to half its heights, for the people had a mind to work." Nehemiah did not waste his time fighting the criticism. He didn't go and defend himself in front of Tobiah and Sanballat. He just prayed to God. Focus on God. If there is somebody discouraging you, if there is circumstances that are against you, don't focus on those things. Focus on God. Bring those things to God. And when you do that, look what it says. The wall was completely rebuilt because people had a mind to work. People had a mind to work. Very important, right? Look what verse 7 says in chapter 4. It says, "Now it happened when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were being restored and the gaps were beginning to be closed, that they became very angry. And all of them conspired together to come and attack Jerusalem and create confusion. Nevertheless, we made our prayers to God, prayer to our God. And because of them, we set a watch against them day and night." Again, they are seeking God out. In this journey, it is so important that we stay in prayer and we keep our focus on God. Not on our ability, not on the strength of the enemy, not on the strength of the wall, but on the strength of God. On the strength of God. And look what happens when this circumstances arises, right? Look at what verse 10 says. It says, "Then Judah said, the strength of the laborer is failing, and there is so much rubbish that we are not able to build the wall. And our adversary said, they will neither know nor see anything till we come into their midst and kill them and cause the work to cease. So it was when the Jews who dwelt near them came that they told us 10 times, from whatever place you turn, they will be upon us." Okay, so here's the situation. The enemies are getting ready to attack Judah, the strongest tribe. Okay, it was they were the strongest tribes. And they are saying that our strength is failing. So they are getting discouraged. And then the Jewish neighbors, the Jews who were living outside of the Jerusalem, they're also trying to convince them to forget about building the wall, forget about the temple, and just leave because of the dangerous situation over there. Sometimes we will feel like this as well, where everything is squeezing us in, that everything that could go wrong, everything is just coming from all sides, just trying to bury us. And sometimes the easiest thing for us to do is to just leave everything and say, forget about this. I can't do it. I can't do it. Okay, that's what many of us are going to feel like. And, you know, Satan is right there to always encourage you to take the easy way out. But look what Nehemiah says, right? Verse 13, he says, "Therefore, I positioned men behind the lower parts of the wall at the openings, and I set the people according to their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and arose and said to the nobles, to the leaders, and to the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, great and awesome, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses." You know, this fight is about our family. Our spiritual fight, our spiritual walk is a fight for our family, our sons and our daughters. It is so important that we defend ourselves. I defend ourselves, you know, and that's why later on, if you read further up, it says as they were building the wall, in one hand they had a sword, and another they had a brick. So with one hand they were used to build, and with another they used to defend and get ready for an enemy attack. And that's how we need to be. That is what we need to do. That as we build build our spiritual wall. As we strengthen our spiritual walk, we need to be ready with the sword. What is a sword in a scripture? It is the word of God. It is so important. It is so important that we know the scripture, that we understand the scripture, that we live by the scripture. So important. And this is how Nehemiah built a wall around Jerusalem. But as I talk to you about this, you might be wondering, what does this have to do with the new year? What does this have to do with me? This is about a Jerusalem. This is about a temple. This is about a wall in a Jerusalem, right? But I hope I have made myself clear when I said that we have a temple, right? We have a temple in our heart when we establish a relationship with Jesus. And I have been talking to you about building a wall around our heart to protect us from the enemy attack. Because many of us are still lost in some of our old habits. There is bitterness. There is envy. There is jealousy. There is anger. There is dissatisfaction. There is many times there is greed, and we don't have the faith that we need. We are not living the victorious life that we need to live. And the reason for that is we are not listening, or we are not living according to the guiding of the Holy Spirit. So if you turn with me to John, book of John, Gospel of John, chapter 14. In the closing, I just want to show you something. Gospel of John, chapter 14, and verse 16. So this is what it says in John 14, verse 16. It says, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever." He'll send you another Comforter. Do you know what the name Nehemiah means? God who comforts. And so as we are looking at this story of Nehemiah coming into Jerusalem and building the spiritual wall, that is exactly what the Holy Spirit does for us. He's a Comforter, right? As we just read over here, it says, "I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever." Holy Spirit is a Comforter. As Nehemiah is coming into Jerusalem and building this wall, leading the people to build this wall, in the same way, the Holy Spirit comes in our heart. When we accept Christ, the Holy Spirit comes and resides within us. And if we listen to the prompting of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, he helps us to build the wall. The wall that is in ruins, it is the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, helps us to rebuild. Look at verse 26 in this same chapter, chapter 14, verse 26. Says this, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things." It is the Holy Spirit that teaches us how to react, how to act, how to handle certain situations. When somebody insults you, how not to lash out, or how not to speak in the same way back to them and show forgiveness. When we are, when there are certain fear in our heart, it is the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, that teaches us that you don't need to act in a fear. Just keep your faith on God. Because when there is faith, there is no fear. It is the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, that reminds us when we are worried about our daily needs. What am I going to eat? What am I going to wear? How am I going to do this? How am I going to provide? When all those questions come up, it is the Holy Spirit that reminds us that Jesus has said, I will supply all your needs. I will supply all your needs. So, as you get ready to celebrate a new year, welcome a new year, I want to ask you, how is your spiritual wall doing? All of us, at some point, at some place, are failing in our spiritual walk. And there is no reason for us to live a defeated life, because God here has promised us that I will send a comforter, and the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you. He is going to teach us. He is our ever-present help. He is our comforter. And what we read here in the book of Nehemiah about the rebuilding of the temple and rebuilding of the Jerusalem wall, it is the work of the Holy Spirit in our life. It is the Holy Spirit that gives us the sword of the word and gives us the understanding as we rebuild the wall of our heart. It is the Holy Spirit that guides us, intercedes for us with the Father. And so, if you are living a defeated Christian life, let this new year be the time that you start listening to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. When we were saved, the temple that was in a ruin, our spirit was rebuilt and reborn. When the Spirit came and dwelt within us, yet even though what happened when I and you, we were born again, sometimes our soul, right, our emotions and our mind can still lie in ruins, right? We are made out of body, soul, and spirit, right? Our mind sometimes, even though we are saved, our mind doesn't think the way it ought to, the way we should be thinking as a Christian. Our emotions are not stable as they need to be. And as a result, we are vulnerable to the attack unless and until the Spirit begins to rebuild. The Comforter helps us rebuild the wall of our soul. How I think, how I feel, how I react. When we receive a bad news, when we receive a bad diagnosis from the doctor, how we are going to react depends on how strong our spiritual wall is. When we receive a news that perhaps would devastate somebody, how do we react to it? Perhaps if we have a rebellious child, how do we discipline them and how do we react to that? How do we control our emotions? That is all depends on how we have allowed our Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to rebuild the walls of our soul, rebuild those walls of our heart. As I said, I don't think it's coincident that Nehemiah means Comforter from God, because he paints a wonderful picture of the true Comforter, the Holy Spirit, who wants to rebuild and restore the walls that have been torn down by sin, the gates that have been burned down because of our rebellious nature, our disobedience to the word. You know, there are many people who say, I have been born again. Why am I struggling in this area emotionally or mentally? I suggest it's because the Holy Spirit's need to do a restoring work, a rebuilding work in the area of this spiritual wall. If you are in that place today, I beg you that listen to the Holy Spirit. Your family's life is at stake. Your own health is at line. It is so important that we get this right. It is so important that we allow the Holy Spirit to rebuild and restore our spiritual wall. If you want a victorious, a joyous new year, will you allow the Holy Spirit to the work? Allow Holy Spirit to do the work that He needs to do in your life. Will you listen to the prompting of the Holy Spirit? Will you follow the Holy Spirit? He gives us the discerning power. He tells us what to do and how to do it. Will you listen and will you allow the Comforter to comfort you? It is a promise given by Jesus. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Folks, my brothers and my sister, this is the key to a successful, victorious Christian life. We can make all the resolutions we want. A new year after new year, if you have looked back in your life, every January 1st comes, we make decisions, and then come December 31st, we find ourselves in the same place as we were before. If we want to make a genuine change in our life, we need to protect our heart. We need to protect our mind and our emotion, how we are going to react to things. And the only way to do that is to follow the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Live a life of an obedience and faith. And so as we get ready to welcome another year, I'd like to wish all of you a very blessed, happy new year from myself and my family. And I hope the coming year, you would recognize the will of God in your life, that you may follow the prompting of the Holy Spirit. May God use you mightily for His purpose and for His glory, and that you be blessed by God with wisdom. And for those of you who are listening, perhaps you have yet not surrendered your life to God, I pray, I request, I beg you, that let this year be the year of your salvation. Nothing matters. No relationship is more important than your relationship with Jesus. And if you get that relationship right, everything in your life will work out in the way it is intended to be. If you don't have that relationship right, if you have not yet surrendered yourself to Jesus, then no matter how hard you try, nothing will work. And so this new year, in a year 2022, I hope God does a marvelous work in your life. I thank you for listening to me. I thank you for your encouraging words to me. Keep me in your prayers. And I hope coming year together, we serve our Lord and Savior and glorify His name. Amen.